This article is brought to you by the best-selling booksy Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Calibrating eye contact based on relationship depth. How to read the room and adjust your gaze for every relationship. In short, eye contact calibration is not about staring more or looking away less. It is about matching your gaze to the relationship you are in. The right amount of eye contact with a new client is not the right amount with a trusted colleague. Misjudging gaze intensity damages trust faster than poor word choice. These five frameworks give you a system for reading the relationship and adjusting your gaze in real time. Definition: eye contact calibration is the deliberate practice of adjusting gaze duration, frequency, and intensity based on relationship depth, conversational context, and the non-verbal signals the other person is sending. It is a learnable skill that builds trust and prevents the misreads that erode connection. I once watched a talented manager lose a room in under a minute. She was presenting to a new client, a man she had met only once before, and she locked on him with the kind of sustained, unblinking gaze she used with her closest team members. She thought she was projecting confidence. What he experienced was something closer to interrogation. He shifted in his chair, looked at his notes, looked at the door. She had no system for reading what was happening. She just kept going. The content was excellent. The relationship never recovered. Eye contact calibration, the skill of matching gaze intensity to relationship depth, is one of the most powerful and most misunderstood tools in communication. Without a framework, even experienced communicators default to what feels natural to them, which is almost never what the other person needs. These five frameworks give you a real system to reach for before, during, and after conversations that matter. What eye contact actually signals at different relationship stages. Before any framework makes sense, you need to understand one foundational truth. The same gaze means something different depending on the relationship you're in. Hold eye contact for 4 seconds with a stranger, and you trigger a mild threat response. Hold the same 4 seconds with a trusted colleague, and you signal respect and attention. The gaze itself has not changed. The relationship context has. This is why copying someone else's eye contact habits really works. What works for them is calibrated to their relationships, not yours. The deeper the relationship, the more sustained and direct the gaze can be without triggering discomfort. The shallower the relationship, the more intermittent and softened the gaze needs to be. Every framework below is built on this principle. Five frameworks for eye contact calibration based on relationship depth. Framework 1. The Trust Ladder. What it is: a four-run model that maps gaze duration to relationship stage. Each run describes a different level of relational trust, from first contact to deep familiarity. Designed for new relationships, early-stage professional contacts, first meetings with clients or senior colleagues. How it works. Number 1. Run 1. Strangers, hold gaze for 2 to 3 seconds, then look away naturally. Return gaze during the other person's key points. This signals interest without intensity. Number 2. Run 2 acquaintances, 3 to 4 seconds of steady contact, with natural breaks during your own speaking turns. You are building rapport, not demanding it. Number 3. Run 3 established colleagues, 4 to 6 seconds is comfortable here. You can hold to emotional content without it feeling aggressive. Number 4. Run 4 trusted relationships, gaze can be sustained and direct. You have earned the right to the full weight of attention without it reading as pressure. When to use it. Anytime you are uncertain which run you are on. Start lower than you think you need to be. You can move up a run as trust builds during the conversation. When not to use it. Do not apply this rigidly across cultural contexts. In some settings, even run 2 gaze toward a senior figure would be considered presumptuous. Read the room alongside the ladder. Worked example. You are meeting a new department head for the first time. You start at run 2, 3 to 4 seconds of steady contact, relaxing your gaze during your own sentences. By the end of 15 minutes, as the conversation warms, you move to run 3. The transition is invisible to them. It simply feels like ease. Eamon's note. I used to default to run 4 with everyone, because I thought it showed respect. It took me years to understand that what felt like respect to me felt like pressure to people who had not yet decided to trust me. Framework 2. The Soft Gaze Method. What it is: a technique for situations where full direct eye contact would escalate tension or discomfort. Instead of avoiding eye contact entirely, you soften the focal point of your gaze. Designed for Tense conversations, emotional discussions, power imbalanced relationships, and situations where the other person is visibly uncomfortable with sustained gaze. How it works. Number 1. Find the triangle. Instead of fixing on the eyes, expand your focus to include the nose and mouth. Your gaze still reads as attentive, but the intensity drops noticeably. Number 2. Blink naturally. Unblinking gaze, even from a soft focal point, reads as hostile. Let your blink rate stay normal. It signals calm. Number 3. Mirror their breaks. When the other person looks away, do not hold your gaze on their face. Look toward the same general area they have shifted to. This reduces the sense that you are watching them. Number 4. Return gradually. As the conversation settles, allow your focal point to return toward the eye slowly. Do not snap back to direct contact after a tense moment. When to use it. Conflict conversations, performance reviews where emotions are running high, and any situation where your direct gaze is visibly causing the other person to shut down. It also pairs well with the guidance in nonverbal communication in tense situations. When not to use it. Do not use a soft gaze in a negotiation where you need to project authority, or in any situation where the other person is interpreting diffuse gaze as evasiveness. Worked example. A team member comes to you visibly distressed after a difficult client call. The moment you fix them with direct eye contact, their chin drops and they go quiet. You shift the soft gaze triangle, blink naturally, and look where they look when they glance away. Within 2 minutes, they are talking freely. Eamon's note. The soft gaze is not weakness. It is reading the room and choosing connection over the performance of confidence. Framework 3. The reciprocity gauge. What it is. A real-time calibration method based on matching and gradually leading the other person's gaze behavior. Rather than applying a fixed duration, you observe what the other person does and adjust from there. Designed for ongoing relationships where the dynamic shifts conversation to conversation. Useful with colleagues whose mood or stress level varies day to day. How it works. Number 1. Observe first. In the opening 30 seconds, notice how long they hold your gaze and when they look away. This is your baseline. Number 2. Match initially. Mirror their gaze pattern for the first 2 to 3 minutes. If they offer 3-second windows, you offer 3-second windows back. Number 3. Lead gradually. Once rapport is established, extend your own gaze by 1 to 2 seconds beyond their natural window. Most people will follow this lead without noticing. Number 4. Read the resistance. If they look away more frequently as you extend, return to matching. Do not push, but calibrate and try again later in the conversation. When to use it. Regular one-to-ones with direct reports, peer conversations that vary in emotional temperature, and any ongoing relationship where a fixed gaze rule would be too blunt an instrument. When not to use it. High-stakes first impressions, where you need to set the tone rather than follow the other person's lead. Worked example. Your colleague comes into the meeting with a short, clipped energy. Her gaze windows are brief. You match them. Keep your own gaze light and intermittent. By 10 minutes in, she is more settled. You extend slightly, she follows, and the conversation opens up. You led, but she never felt pushed. Eamon's note. This is the framework I reach for most often now. It demands that you actually pay attention to the other person, which is something we could all do more of. Framework 4. The authority axis. What it is. A framework for navigating gaze when there's a clear power differential. It addresses both directions, how to use eye contact when you hold authority and how to use it when the authority sits with the other person. Designed for presentations to senior leaders, difficult conversations with a manager, and any situation where status shapes the conversation. It connects directly to the dynamics explored in how to deal with dominant voices in a discussion. How it works when you hold authority. Number 1. Use a steady, warm gaze. Sustained eye contact from a position of authority signals safety, not dominance. Your people need to feel seen, not assessed. Number 2. Distribute gaze in group settings. In meetings, move your gaze deliberately around the room. Holding contact only with the loudest voices signals hierarchy within your own team. Number 3. Break first. Paradoxically, looking away first during a pause signals ease and confidence. Holding a stare during silence reads as pressure. How it works when authority sits with the other person. Number 1. Hold steady during your speaking turns. Looking away while you make a point suggests uncertainty. Keep your gaze engaged when you are delivering something important. Number 2. Look away during their speaking turns. Sustained gaze while a senior figure speaks can read as challenge in some cultures and contexts. Let your eyes move naturally as you listen. Number 3. Return for emphasis. When they make a key point, bring your gaze back to signal that you have registered it. When to use it. Any conversation where the power dynamic is explicit, including performance conversations, board presentations, and senior stakeholder meetings. For meeting-specific communication dynamics, see the role of communication in meeting success. When not to use it. Do not overthink this in relationships where authority is mutual or where the other person actively works to flatten hierarchy. Worked example. You are presenting a proposal to a director you have met only once. During your key arguments, your gaze is steady and direct. When she speaks, you listen with natural, intermittent gaze. When she finishes a point you agree with, you return to direct contact and nod once. She later tells your manager the presentation felt confident and respectful. Eamon's note. I got this badly wrong earlier in my career. I either stared down people above me, which they took as arrogance, or I looked away constantly, which they read as weakness. The axis is the middle ground that actually works. Framework 5. The repair gaze. What it is? A specific set of gaze adjustments designed for moments when a conversation has gone off track, conflict, misunderstanding, or hurt feelings. It is built on the principle that eye contact during repair conversations requires more care than during any other type of exchange. Designed for conflict situations, apologies, correction conversations, and any moment where the relationship itself is the subject of discussion. It works well alongside the approaches described in how to handle conflict during meetings and how the empathy bridge technique diffuses tension before a difficult workplace conversation starts. How it works. Number 1. Open with brief, warm contact. At the start of a repair conversation, hold gaze for 2 to 3 seconds with a relaxed expression. This signals that you are present and not defensive. Number 2. Soften during the emotional peak. When the hardest thing is being said, either by you or by them, shift to the soft gaze triangle. Full direct contact at the emotional peak can feel like confrontation. Number 3. Return to steady contact for acknowledgement. When you acknowledge what has been said, I understand why that landed badly. Return to direct, warm gaze. This is the moment your eyes have to be present. Number 4. Do not rush to normal. After a genuine repair moment, return to normal gaze patterns gradually. Snapping back to casual, intermittent contact too quickly signals that you have moved on before they have. When to use it. Every repair and conflict conversation, without exception. The core framework pairs directly with this, helping you stay grounded while your gaze does the relational work. When not to use it. Standard correction conversations, where the relationship is not strained, do not need this level of care. Reserve it for moments where trust has genuinely been tested. Worked example. You have to tell a long-standing colleague that their work on a shared project fell short and affected the outcome. You open with brief, warm contact. As you deliver the hard part, you soften slightly. When they respond, clearly stung, you hold their gaze warmly and say, "That is fair. I should have flagged this sooner." You hold that contact for a full 4 seconds. The silence carries the acknowledgement. The relationship holds. Eamon's note. People remember how your eyes looked when you said sorry. Every time, make sure they saw you in them. Choosing the right framework for the moment. The 5 frameworks above are not interchangeable, but they are not rigid either. Here is a quick guide to help you decide which one to reach for. Situation framework to reach for. First meeting, new relationship, trust ladder start at rung 1 or 2. Ongoing relationship, daily variation, reciprocity gauge. Tense or emotional conversation, soft gaze method. Power differential, present authority axis. Conflict, repair, or apology repair gaze. Virtual or hybrid setting, reciprocity gauge or authority axis. When in doubt, start with the trust ladder. It gives you a clear default position and a path to adjust upward as the conversation develops. The reciprocity gauge is your most flexible ongoing tool. The other 3 are for specific conditions. One thing to remember, you will rarely use only one framework in a long conversation. A difficult one-to-one with a colleague might start with the reciprocity gauge, shift to the repair gaze when something difficult is surfaced, and finish with a return to warmer, sustained contact as trust is re-established. The skill is in reading the shift and knowing which tool serves the moment. For remote and hybrid settings, eye contact calibration takes a different form. On video, Looking directly at the camera rather than at the person's face on screen creates the impression of eye contact for the viewer. Knowing when to hold the camera gaze and when to look at their face on screen is its own version of calibration. Leaders navigating this consistently will find value in how leaders stay visible in virtual workspaces. Where eye contact calibration goes wrong. Most people do not fail at eye contact because they are careless. They fail because they are working from habit, not from a system. Here are the three most common ways it breaks down. Holding a fixed gaze regardless of relationship stage. Why it happens. You have been told that eye contact signals confidence, so you apply it uniformly. What to do instead? Use the trust ladder to identify where you actually are in the relationship and start from there, avoiding all gaze during difficult conversations. Why it happens. Conflict makes people want to look away. Looking down feels safer. What to do instead? Use the soft gaze method. You do not need to hold full direct contact, but you cannot disappear from the conversation with your eyes either. Misreading cultural defaults as personal signals. Why it happens. You see someone looking away frequently and assume discomfort or evasion. In some cultural contexts, looking away shows respect. What to do instead? Before calibrating, spend the first 30 seconds observing without interpreting. The reciprocity gauge builds this pose in deliberately. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Building real fluency over time. You will not master these frameworks in a single week. Here is a realistic plan. In the first 2 weeks, choose one framework and apply it consistently in low-stakes conversations. The reciprocity gauge is the easiest to start with because it asks you to observe before you act. After each conversation, spend 60 seconds noting what you noticed and what you adjusted. In weeks 3 and 4, introduce a second framework. The trust ladder pairs naturally with the reciprocity gauge because they operate on the same underlying principle. Read the relationship, then respond. By week 6, you will have enough real experience that the frameworks begin to feel less like rules and more like instincts with structure behind them. That is exactly where you want to be. The goal is not to think about your eyes during every conversation. The goal is to have calibrated so consistently that the right gaze for the moment becomes natural, because you have earned that fluency through practice. What to carry forward? Eye contact calibration is not a performance skill. It is a relational one. Done well, no one notices it. They just feel more at ease with you, more heard, more respected. The frameworks in this article give you the structure to make that happen reliably, not just when the conditions are easy. Return to the trust ladder when you meet someone new. Reach for the reciprocity gauge in your daily relationships. Keep the repair gaze close for the conversations that matter most. Your gaze is one of the most direct signals of your presence and your character. Learn to calibrate it deliberately, and the people you work with will trust you faster, forgive you more readily, and follow your lead more willingly. That is what good eye contact calibration earns you over time. Frequently asked questions. What is eye contact calibration? Eye contact calibration is a practice of adjusting how long, how often, and how intensely you hold another person's gaze based on your relationship with them, the situation, and what you want to communicate. It is a conscious nonverbal skill, not an instinct. How do you calibrate eye contact with someone you have just met? With a new contact, aim for steady but intermittent gaze hold for 3 to 4 seconds, look away naturally, then return. This signals confidence and interest without the intensity that can feel intrusive when trust has not yet been established. Why does eye contact feel different depending on the relationship? Relationship depth changes the meaning of a gaze. Between strangers, prolonged eye contact can feel threatening. Between colleagues with established trust, sustained eye contact signals engagement. The same gaze duration carries a different message depending on how well two people know each other. How much eye contact is too much in a professional setting? Holding eye contact for more than 5 continuous seconds without a natural break can feel confrontational, even with people you know well. The right amount depends on context, cultural background, and the emotional tone of the conversation. More is not always stronger. Can eye contact calibration help during tense conversations? Yes, in a tense conversation, softening your gaze, blinking naturally, and briefly looking away can reduce the other person's sense of threat. Steady, unblinking eye contact during conflict often escalates tension rather than resolving it. How does cultural background affect eye contact calibration? Cultural norms around gaze vary significantly. In some cultures, sustained eye contact signals honesty and engagement. In others, looking away shows respect, especially toward authority figures. Effective eye contact calibration means accounting for the other person's cultural context, not just your own. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.